Hi guys, this is Nadia Hilker. I'm playing Magna on The Walking Dead, and you guys are listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through. I hope you guys enjoy this podcast, and I'm sending you all my love. Bye!
Hello, my name is Cassie McClincy. I play Lydia on The Walking Dead, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through. Yay!
Hey there guys, I'm Callan McAuliffe, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Hey, I'm Lindsley Register, and I play Lara on The Walking Dead. You're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Hey, this is Ross Marquand, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through.
Awesome.
Survivors, welcome to episode 145 of The Walking Dead Talk Through and Tales of The Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Kyle.
Yay!
That sounded very insincere, LT. Very insincere indeed.
Hey.
And an astute judge of character you are, sir.
Oh, well. All right. Well, say... Who else?
I'm Brian.
I'm LT.
Yay!
Yay!
All right. To preface all this, so tonight we are going to cover, obviously, the season 11, episode 17 of The Walking Dead, titled Lockdown. But because of, you know, all the farm crud and being behind on covering Tales of the Walking Dead, we decided to cover at least like the last episode that we didn't cover on first, and then next episode, which we're actually recording tomorrow, then we'll cover the finale of season one of Tales of the Walking Dead. So the first one, or the one we're doing tonight, is season one, episode five, titled Devon. And I'm going to preface this, Renee, I thank you always for all your voicemail that you have sent, but with the time and trying to get these out so we can be caught up, I'm going to go with your written feedback, and I was not going to play the voicemails that you sent. So I know you've said like you use like, oh, just pick one or the other, but I know you have lots of things to say, especially about this episode. But I'm just going to, you know, we're just going to stick with the written so that we can get through this and we can actually get back to the main show. All right. Well, so season one, episode five of Tales of the Walking Dead, titled Devon, was written by Channing Powell and directed by Michael E. Satrazimus. Description from AMC Plus is Devon wakes in a town with no memory. He pieces his memory to uncover why he is accused of murder. I didn't put any of our any of our responses on here. So I don't know if you want to give a ratings, because I didn't really have one when we were trying to do this back in the day, a few months ago.
Well, I will say this. This was my least favorite episode of Tales of the Walking Dead until episode six.
All right, well, we'll take that then.
So that means it's my second to last favorite, second least favorite of this.
It
was barely okay, and my biggest issue with it is it did not feel at all like The Walking Dead, or for that matter zombies. It just didn't. Neither of them did. And we're not going to talk about the other one, but that was my biggest issue with it. It just didn't feel.
Yeah.
It reminded me basically of some undergraduate art student who has a minor in film production that got together and made a movie with his friends after sitting through a semester's worth of the film as art.
Oh, you took the words right out of my mouth, because that's exactly how I
basically felt. It basically took this, and I've thought about a more eloquent way to say it, but it basically took this film noir knockoff with, I wouldn't even give it credit to say it's a half-ass storyline. It's maybe a quarter-ass or an eighth-ass storyline. And they just took at the last minute, you know, dabbed the brush in Walking Dead and went, tick-a-tick-a-tick, and just put a little yeah. swash of Walking Dead on it.
Yeah.
So they can say, see, see, it's Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, it's, and I may do it later. I don't know. But this is like, seriously, one of those movies. It's like one of those movies you go see at that little crappy rundown converted convenience store movie theater yeah. that's next to a college campus. And there's lots of clove cigarette smoke in the air and it smells like patchouli. And there's a bunch of really pretentious people who are sitting there going, oh, but it is such an artistic masterpiece. Look at the way he plays with the light and the dark. Does it not wrench your soul to see? And I'm like, nope, not even a little, Bubba.
So, oh, my gosh.
Anyway.
Yeah, so I felt the same way. I was already in a bad mood with already dealing, you know, with farm stuff. That I remember, I watched it when it aired. And my husband is not a fan of The Walking Dead. I think he kind of got over it after probably Negan and then like just some of what was season 7 or 8 or whatever that was just like kind of dragging along. So he already is not a big fan, but then he was enjoying some of the like, you know, episode 1 and 2 of Tales. So he's like, no, I kind of like this. It's completely out of, you know, whatever. So for me sitting there and then we're watching the show and I literally was just like, what the bleep hell is this? And like I don't know, by the end of it I was like I don't understand what I even watched and I am not happy. I was just like, and I was like ULT, I was just like, it felt like a basically like the showrunner let their college film student basically have an episode like, oh, here, have fun with this. And like, yeah, I just, all the tricks like with the camera focus and like all the flashing and like it was old, like it looks like you're watching an old, you know, film or whatever. And then I didn't understand the story. And I know, I think actually Renee said in her she had mentioned in her her voicemail from when this episode aired or whatever, that it's like, oh, I was watching like some M. Night Shyamalan, like, you know,
yeah,
movie.
Yeah,
no, it's not an M. Night Shyamalan movie because occasionally his movies are entertaining.
Yes, but then also he does miss the mark a lot, which is like,
yes, I know.
I.e. The Happening. Like,
I know.
So this had that whole same feel like that. And I was just kind of like, yeah, I'm like, I don't, besides the like Bob Ross, like scattering of zombies, you know, like, here and there, I didn't really understand like how it even like related to like The Walking Dead, other than the fact that like, oh, here, we'll just sprinkle little zombies that are just crawling on the ground, and then the main one, whatever. Anyways, I was just like, okay, and like, I don't get it, and so I was not happy. So I was gonna poop all over this when we were originally going to do this episode.
Yeah, but it's, you know, it's like some poop has the ability to lose its scent right away, but there's other kinds of poop that seem to linger. And I think in the case of these two episodes, they're of the lingering variety.
The yeah. only thing that keeps me trashing this episode harder than I already have is the fact that I saw the episode that comes after it.
Yeah. Yeah. If anything, that helps because, yeah, I mean, I didn't care for this episode, but I cared for the final episode even less.
I went off like a cable rated WWE table announcer. It was not pretty, kids. there were flipping chairs and thrown water bottles and expletives that would make sailors blush and run away.
Well, save that for next time, because we're only covering episode five today.
Okay. Yes, we will. We will cover it. We will do that next time. But that's my issue with it. I mean, there were elements of it that I liked, but like, I don't know. As a French Canadian, I thought it was kind of interesting that they focused on some town in Maine that is French. I don't know why that was a plot point, but it was interesting. So,
yeah,
you know.
Got to represent, I guess.
I guess. You know.
Well, see, I didn't even get that it was in Maine. I was going, how did this guy end up in a cabin full of French people? Did he fall asleep on a boat during a hurricane and wake up in France?
He got blown way up north.
Well, quite honestly, that would have made even more sense. Like, they should have done that, because that would have actually been a good segue to the Daryl Dixon series, you know? Like,
Daryl's big road trip.
Why didn't they do that? I mean, there was nothing in that that made it that they had to have it in Maine, you know, and I don't know. That just,
yeah.
But to me, when you've got a guy who's been hit in the head and is like hallucinating that the zombie is talking to him, that's going to fail. It's going to fail Walking Dead 101.
Yeah.
The zombies do not talk to you, you know? So I don't know. It's just, it went a different direction than I thought it was going to go at the end. Mm-hmm. And I didn't mind the end, but I just, yeah. In fact, I think I've talked more about it than I would like to, and I'd like to move on.
Okay. I will just add one note, though, is like that they cast Jesse T. Usher from The Boys in it, A-Train, that I was super excited whenever I saw that and was like, oh my gosh, like what's this, you know, I love him, you know, he's great in The Boys. And so I'm like, you know, like, them, the cast that they put in this series was like really above and like over the top, like, wow, this is like going to be good, to then what we got to being like, why did you even agree to do this?
Well, and some of the episodes were good.
Brian, this is an opportunity to play our favorite sounder. Why did he do it?
Well, that would be, of course. Why did they do it?
The money.
That's right, baby.
Hopefully he got a good paycheck out of it then. So anyways, let's move on, because I don't want to spend all night just talking about this episode. So we're going to just go through what our listeners gave for their feedback, and we'll start with ratings. And first comes from Deanna from Detroit, and she gave this episode, Devon, a 7 out of 10. Devon, you are going to kill me.
And Glennis from Toronto gives the 6 out of 10. Viva la the boy.
Renee from Fairburn gives it 2 out of 10. Yeah. 2 out of 10. So we're in the villages now, or Salem's Lot. Shrug, shrug, shrug. Or should I say facepalm?
That was facepalm, facepalm, yes. Facepalm.
Yes, facepalm.
Yeah, Mike from Asheville gave it a 5 out of 10. I'm melting.
I'm melting. Melting. Oh, my beautiful evil. What a world. What a world.
Ivan from Minnesota gives it 5 out of 10. Murder mystery.
And Teresa from Florida gave it a 4 out of 10.
A 4 out of 10.
Just a 4 out of 10. That's all she gave.
Well, that's about all it needed, right? It was 4 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
No, didn't need any more. No.
All right. Now we go into our awesome sauces. Deanna from Detroit, her awesome was like, I can't think of anything awesome except for the handcuffed walker. How was it not chomping at him? Was it because the face was melted off?
Okay. Glitch from Toronto says, that Easter egg when Devon asked after his shoe when recovering on the bed and Nora gave him his treasured picture of maybe his family. The card behind just showing was the PPP card. Still wondering, what does that card open? Hailing back to the last trace of Heath, when Tara found that card left behind in the tire tracks in The Walking Dead Season 7, Episode 5, Swear. Devon also looked a lot like Heath with his glasses on.
Oh, so you think this might have been like a replacement Heath?
It's pseudo Heath.
Don't think so, because his name was Devon. So, but I did not notice the PPP card.
Yeah, I didn't know something either.
So, good on you, Glynis. I completely missed that. So,
and she goes on to say, the fractured kaleidoscope visual effects were well done, seeing it from Devon's perspective, and only sharpening and clearing the images when he got back his glasses.
Yeah.
I'll do the next two.
Okay.
Renee from Fairburn, she just has, Devon is so cute to me with a smiley with a kiss times two. Mike from Asheville says the village had a very New England pilgrim feel. I love that for a setting.
And then Ivan from Minnesota says Devon was a good actor and fun to follow. That face melting scene was one of the more brutal deaths from the Walking Dead universe.
Okay. And Teresa from Florida says, I love Miss Good Who Did It mystery with the villain getting his or her comeuppance in the end.
Well, that he did.
Yep.
Yes, he did.
All right. Well, then that leads us into our weak sauces. Glenn is from Toronto's week is the sax music in this episode reminded me of the Mike Hammer TV series theme song. Although it didn't really suit and really work with this episode. Devon did have a mystery to solve, but he is no private detective for hire. She did a little smiley face.
And that song is Harlem Nocturne. It's one of my favorites. Ivan from Minnesota says how choppy the episode was because it got hard to follow at times. Also tired of the talking walkers and hallucinations by now. Frowny face.
Yeah.
And lastly, for our weak sauce from our listeners here, Teresa from Florida, she says it in a very, very plain way that I have to 100% agree with. This just was not The Walking Dead. So very disappointed. This story reminded me of American Horror Story, a very bad AHS. However, I watched to the end because I love The Walking Dead. I'm here for all of it, the good and the bad. I hear you. Yeah, it didn't feel Walking Dead to me.
Nope.
Not at all.
Mm-mm.
If anything, that's the main issue that I had with both episodes. It wasn't so much that they were terrible, maybe they were, but my main issue was they just didn't feel like The Walking Dead.
Yeah, yep. I agree, because I was like, that's why I enjoyed episode two, Blair Gina, because that was very in The Walking Dead, although it was a completely new way of like the story was just kind of like, you know, they went totally the time loop and Groundhog Day, and then it's like, oh, but was it even in real to begin with? But it was still in the universe. We still saw the walkers, we saw the, you know, the start of the apocalypse, and so it was still in that realm. And this was just like, I don't even know what I'm, you know, it's like, what's going on? And it's like, as long as we've been watching the show, it's like you start trying to be like, you're trying to piece things into being like, okay, wait, where are we? What's going on? Like, what's the setting? What's the time frame? Like, when are they?
Yeah.
How are they? You know, it's like, was this the start? Was this the ending? Was it the middle? And it was just like, I don't know. I'm starting to like basically go, you know, getting the strobe light, like, you know. Basically, I was hallucinating while I was watching the show because that's what I was seeing. It was like completely not real of like anything of what I was expecting.
You woke up in a closet and someone was playing Easy Street.
Oh, God.
And that would have at least put me. Yeah, that would have brought me back into the world. That maybe that's how my husband woke me up, because I did fall asleep towards the end. Anyways. All right. Well, thank you all for those weak sauces. So that leads us into our what's. And we got a few. And the first one comes from Dieta from Detroit. And she says, what sauce. So that's how they kill somebody using the bulldozer digging thing to crush them in a car. Where do they get that machine, first off? Second, why use a resource like that to off somebody? Just feed them to the dead like they did the killer. I'm sure the vital resource helped build the walls or dig ditches to keep the dead out or something to keep the community safe.
Well, right. And they used the backhoe so that they would have the slow death machine effect like a James Bond movie.
Yes. And give them plenty of time to escape at the last minute, because that big car that they were crushing with, it was just like, it was just silly.
Yes. So next is Renee from Fairburn, who says, I want to make sure I counted this right, because Renee says, where are the freaking zombies? Shrug, 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 shrug.
We did see some. They just were not.
Yeah, but come on. Come on.
We saw some, but they were not like.
They're in the bottom of a pit.
They were not. Yeah. They were not an existential threat. They were just a freaking plot device for the denouement.
Denouement. Yes. Mike from Asheville said, most of the episode, I didn't understand what was happening most of the time. I still don't fully understand why they killed the kids. I heard the explanation, but why? And then he says, what was up with the different flavor of jams? Or I assume they were jams?
Yeah, I don't know.
Were they
jams? I don't know. I don't remember those.
I don't even remember jams. What?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, you know, there are different flavors of jams, Mike, besides grape and maybe strawberry. So, you know.
Pump up the...
Black currant is nice. If you ever had that, that's good. I don't know.
And you could have a nice raspberry jam if you want to do the schnadenfreude thing.
A lot of the, I will say that I agree with him. A lot of it was kind of like, what the hell's going on? Like, you know, and it was kind of one of those types of shows where you don't fully realize what's going on until the end. Mm-hmm. But there was, the payoff wasn't there, you know?
Yeah, there was no payoff.
Yeah.
Anyways, all right. Well, thank you, Mike. All right. Well, we didn't have sad, or I was going to bring an oh hell no, because I think that was from to the next episode that we'll cover next week or the next time we record. So this goes into our feedback. And so the first feedback comes from Dia from Detroit. She said, I had to, and actually this, I had to kind of piece together from the main thing that she said between her Wattses and Awesomeses. That sounded like a hobbit right there. Deanna from Detroit said, I had to watch this episode twice because at first I was like, what the hell? Another loopy episode? And then she's like, shock face, angry face. But after a second watch, I was like, okay, he has memory loss. So I kept watching the ending because I didn't understand why they had the boy tied up or were killing other kids. I probably should have put on the closed caption because I definitely missed the why of the Salem style killing of a murderer. At least that's what crossed my mind based off the way they were talking and acting. This was an okay episode, in my opinion. Love the handcuffed walker talking to Devon. That was comical. Not sure if he was dreaming or what. The actual episode was a little confusing with the sequence of events. Still didn't get why or get the reason why they were killing folks. Oh, yeah. I love how Devon escaped while the townspeople were fighting each other and just like rolling on the floor laughing emoji. Yeah. I will just say that it was very hard to follow, and because I wasn't able to even get a second watch, because the show was delayed, that I never even went back to go watch it. So I don't know if it, like, my question, and this goes for the next episode too, because I haven't fully even watched the whole episode. Like, I'll have always my first reaction when I watch the first time. Because I don't do notes. I just like watch it as like, you know, just anybody would be watching it. And, then when I go back to do my rewatch, that's when I pay like more attention. I have closed captioning and then I'm trying to like, you know, catch things that I might've missed.
Right.
But like, this was just like from the start, like yeah, I was like completely already turned off that I was like, I don't even like, I'm not, nothing's hooking me into this. And yeah, it was not Walking Dead and I didn't understand what was going on. I spent more time being confused because there was so much artsy, like, you know, like old film, real like graphic, you know, I used in basically my high school media class. And I just, yeah, I just was like, I don't even know what's going on. And I just kind of was like, stopped caring. So,
yep.
All right, next.
So, Glennis from Toronto says that French community looked as if they were right out of the Dark Ages, even a cult vibe going on for them. Dressed the way they were, with the women in drab sack-like dresses and the men in old dated coats. It wouldn't look out of place and looked very similar to a story plot point in an episode of Outlander. The scenes almost look like a 16th century Salem witch hunt, with the townsfolk searching the woods with torches and maybe pitchforks, and the more Devon pleaded his innocence, the worse the murderous mob became, thirsty for blood and vengeance. Is this French community linked in some way to why Daryl ends up in France?
Oui, oui.
I don't know. Mais oui, Josephine, I'm as sane as you.
Just to be clear on that, that would be considered an Acadian group. So no, because Acadia are like outside of, you know, moved to North America 400 years ago.
Yep.
So yeah, in the 1600s. So no.
So she goes on to say that acid that caused Amanda's doom and her face to dissolve was so strange that it made Amanda look like a walker in double quick time. Made me wonder if some of that mixture may have been part of the concoction to kick start the walker virus. Arnaud couldn't really separate good from evil with a mother like that. He was just carrying her philosophy to the nth degree. Amanda stopped short of killing her own son, as it was obvious his mind was warped and thinking he was doing the kids a favor by killing them and not having to struggle in this walker-infested world. A little like Lizzie going to the opposite extreme and wanting people to join the walkers. But Carol steeled herself to put Lizzie down before she could do even more harm. Sometimes murder is mercy. The community ended up morally no better than Arnaud. They also chose not to spare Arnaud, so ignoring Devon's word of wisdom of there is still life out there, there is still hope. So in the end, Devon also forsakes Nora and states in French, I will see. So what? He'll see and be searching for proof of a good life and a life full of hope out there. A little like the TWD survivors have always hoped for something better, but eventually all goes to hell. An example, when Rick Grimes told the governor that they could all live together peacefully at the prison, and the governor called him a liar and went ahead and slashed Herschel's neck. Ugh.
All along, people make these conscious good or bad decisions along the way, and what they decide has far-reaching outcomes.
And she finishes up by saying, waffling a bit now, so I'll make my decision and end this feedback now.
thank you, Glennis.
Thank you so much, Glennis.
That was great. That was great.
It was.
I will take the last two so we can segue right into the good stuff. Renee from Fairburn, she says, I was really hoping to see how people reacted in the beginning of the apocalypse. Instead, we're seeing people have flashbacks and out-of-body experiences. Smiley face with what would that be?
That shock face.
Is that shock face?
Those look like shock faces to me, sir.
I think I need to put my magnification on. Anyway, shock faces, I can't with this show. Mm-hmm. And then Mike from Asheville says, I don't mind a mystery. I don't mind flashes of a memory to piece it together. I guess for me, it didn't work for a short format like this. I agree with Ivan. Enough with the hallucinations and talking zombies. The acting was good, but the story was just eh. Yeah, I would agree.
Same here. All right. Well, thank you all. That was our coverage of Tales of the Walking Dead Season 1, Episode 5, titled Devon. So let's get into the good stuff. So this week, or as we're recording a little late, and thank you everybody for all your patience and just thank you all. I preface this before we start, just like, you know.
It's this week because we say it is.
It is this week that we say this, even though we're recording this on the Monday before next week. No, just thank you everybody for all your patience. It's just been such a, it's been very hard trying to deal with the farm and then trying to do this. And it was like, it got all out of control. And I'm like, you know, I imagined in my head that I was like, oh no, this is not going to be that bad. And then like, oh, and I had like, oh, Tuesday. I'm like, we're record Tuesday, no big deal. And then the next thing you know, it's like, no, for 2 months, I'm basically stuck in my kitchen cutting peppers for 16 hours a day.
Well, I mean, if anything, it'll prepare us for what to expect for next year. I mean,
yes,
you know, so
yep.
Now we know how this is going to go. We'll have a better idea. And the thing I want to segue with is, you know, normally what would have happened and what has happened in the past is if Kyle was too busy, I would go back from my sort of like supporting role to the lead role and host. But I was busier than Kyle on some weeks because I was working two jobs. So I've been, I got 3 months behind on the Star Trek podcast. So, anyway, that was the thing. It's like, I couldn't even think about editing or recording anything for forever. Like the reason why I say I was busier than you, that's not even true, but you'd at least respond. I wouldn't even respond. That's what I'm saying. It's like, I was too busy to even respond to anybody. So, you know,
yeah,
but anyway, it sucked. And, in my case, I was, you know, I just started a new job at the end of July and, didn't give up my previous job. So I'm still working part-time, which should have been 5 hours, 5 or 10 hours a week maximum, instead was 25 to 30 hours 30. A week. So it didn't leave me with any time. And, both podcasts have suffered as a result, and we're only just starting to get caught back up on both of them. So,
yes.
Yeah.
And I was going to say I wasn't busy, but because I didn't have a responsible adult, they wouldn't let me do anything. So I just had to wait. I apparently need adult supervision. So.
And it's one of those things. It's like, we gotta get you editing and then that way, if we have a situation where, you know, both Kyle and myself can't do the podcast, maybe you could find a guest to come in
That was the only marginally funny thing is that when we decided we were going to go with three hosts,
yeah,
then it ended up, well, what do you do if there's nobody around?
Yeah. And it's worth saying, we did have that too, right? Because you also were dealing with, you know, being on call, and you had some mm-hmm. pretty busy weekends there. Where,
oh yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just Kyle and myself. It was all three of us. So.
Oh yeah. At one point, it's like, well, can we do anything? And I'm like, no,
no.
Yeah. And then, what do you think, Kyle? It's like, no.
Yep.
And it's like, what do you think, Brian?
No.
Cricket, 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 cricket.
Yeah. No response.
Yeah.
And then 2 days later, it's like, sorry, guys, I was too busy.
Yeah. Oh, well, all right. So let's move on then.
Just remember, guys, we don't do this for a living. We really wish we did.
Yes, we do.
But we actually have real jobs outside of giving you the amusing and, you know, pulse pounding commentary on The Walking Dead that you've so grown used to.
Yeah. And we have the best listeners, because I know I got a lot of comments whenever I would post my updates. So thank you all. And things are going to get better. So we're going to get back on track.
Buy some chili powder.
All right. Season 11, episode 17 of The Walking Dead, titled Lockdown, written by Julia Richman and directed by Greg Nicotero. So he makes his another directorial debut. Description from AMC Plus is Daryl and Negan rush to the Commonwealth in order to stop Hornsby from going after their families. All right. That leads us into our ratings. LT, you want to start with yours?
I gave this episode a 9.8 out of 10. High speed Negan.
High speed Negan.
Nice.
It's not the first time we've seen high speed Negan either.
It's true. Mm-mm. But just so I can say it, they were talking about doing the stunt where he was in the car chase. And they said, yeah, we got Jeff to get in the car and drive around for a while. And he was just, you know, driving around giggling to himself. I'm like, and you could tell he was having a lot of fun doing
it. Hell yeah. That's true. Yeah. Well, I gave this a 9.99999 Quentin Nicotero Blood and Guts Part 2. I saw that he was directing it, and obviously there was lots of walkers, lots of blood.
But there were no bare feet, so it can't be really Quentin Nicotero.
Oh, but we didn't see. Maybe it was off screen.
Nope. If it's a Tarantino film, you see bare feet. Sorry.
Bare feet. Okay.
Well, I'm going to give it a slightly lower rating, but still a good rating of 9.5 burnt blueberry pancakes. And I think the only reason why I give it a 9.5 is because I had seen the next episode the same time that I saw this one and liked it more. So that's why this is a 9.5. But I'll say this at this point, and Kyle can agree, we have both seen the first three episodes and they are awesome. Mm-hmm. So
look at the pancakes, Judith.
Yeah. So if the next five are like the first three, we're going to have a great 8 coming.
Yep. Yes.
Yep.
Agreed. All right. Well, then that takes us in our listeners' ratings. And our first one comes from Diana from Detroit. And she says, 9 out of 10. I'm so happy our show is back. And heart emoji. Oh my God. What am I going to do when it's over? Cry face. Another cry face. A really big cry face. I really enjoyed this episode. It was such a refreshing episode. Yes, Dieta, I'm just glad to be back for sure.
Yep. Gliz from Toronto gives it a 7 out of 10. Carol's magical bum bunnies.
Bum bunnies. That sounds funny. Renee from Fairburn gives it a 10 out of 10. We love it when Renee loves an episode. I love it. Hot damn, the gang is back. And that is hug, and hug emoji. Mm-hmm.
And Mike from Asheville gave it an 8 out of 10. The revolution has begun.
Elmer from Sacramento gives it an 8 out of 10. Starting off like gangbusters.
Ivan from Minnesota says 8 out of 10. Let the madness begin. Excited for this final stretch.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you all for your ratings. So that leads us into our awesome sauce. Awesome sauce. And Dieta from Detroit's awesome sauce is the cold open with all the flashbacks of all the previous seasons, giving us a chance to see some of our fallen heroes. And heart in the eyes emoji.
And I love the fact that those little segues at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
I have something in, I think, my sad sauce, just this too.
Okay, Glenn from Toronto says, what a shootout between Daryl, Maggie, and company and the Commonwealth troops. Glad Daryl and Maggie cleared the air between them when Maggie apologized that Daryl had to end up killing Leah. And a tug at the heartstrings when Daryl mentions Glenn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Renee from Fairburn says, Daryl telling Maggie she never has to apologize to him because Glenn would want him to protect her. That's crying face. I feel he was saying, if I would have kept my mouth shut, Glenn would still be here. And for that, he's going to always have her back. But then again, they all have each other's back, including Negan. Shrug. Yeah, I know I was Negan's biggest critic, but now I digress. Facepalm. Wow.
Yeah. Renee.
Wow. I never thought I'd hear you say that.
Oh, goodness. Wow. That's good. Like, he's just wait. There's more to see from Negan.
Yep.
All right, Mike from Asheville. Awesome Sauce said, was this our first car chase on the show? Maybe the first since season one, episode one. Either way, that was fun. Negan being Negan. Sewer camps. Now I wish we had an episode earlier on one based in one of these camps. Dark, unsanitary, ripe for drama. And Mercer having Rosita's back, offering to help if she ever wants to leave. We all knew he was cool, but hearing him say that just felt good.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree.
Because Alma from Sacramento says, love the beginning. It totally tugged at my heartstrings. Can we talk about that car chase? Though it shot very well, I was a little... And she's like... has a raised eyebrow and kind of an eye roll, only because it's so far into the ZA and they got cars in great condition. Lol. And she finishes up by saying, and mother fucking Negan, coming in clutch for our people is totally awesome.
Yeah, I'm sure someone will have something to say about the gas.
Mm-hmm.
Ivan from Minnesota, he says, a lot going on in this episode with Lance going after Daryl, Maggie, and others. Negan gets inside the Commonwealth, huge Walker horde, and the Commonwealth citizens are not happy. Great directing, soundtrack, and very solid episode. I agree on all cases.
I agree too. Yeah. All right. Thank you all for your awesome sauces. So that leads us into ours. LT, do you want to start with yours?
No, because I agreed with all yours.
All right.
And I can't agree with yours until you say them, sir.
So, all right. So then I will let Brian, do you want to get yours first and then I'll do mine?
Sure. Sure. Not a problem at all. Well, I particularly enjoyed the exchange between Negan and Mercer. So, you know, it was mentioned about, you know, Negan getting into the Commonwealth, that whole scene, like when Mercer says that they have rules and Negan says, well, if no one else follows those rules, then why do you? I like that. And I like Mercer's reaction to that. Mm-hmm. He's kind of like, you make a point there. And, you know, you can kind of see over the course of this episode, and I think it's going to continue where, Mercer kind of starts to see the Commonwealth for what it is and not what it, you know, not the ideal of what it's supposed to be, but what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we'll go more into that, like particularly, I think next time. But yeah, anyway, the acting in that scene was really good. And, I just liked how they got him in there. So. That was good. I also enjoyed the scene with, speaking of Negan, Carol, Negan, and Sebastian, with Negan, you know, saying like, you know, hey, if I'm pissing in a jar and, you know, what do you say? It was something like, you know, if I'm peeing in a jar and I forget, but I can't remember what he said, but he's, you know, it was basically saying if Carol is, you know, giving him an opportunity, he should be taking it. And also he said about
that was where he had the magic bunnies pulled out of her butt.
Right, right, right. And saying that, you might want to, you know, choose some other options or something like that. So anyway, I can't paraphrase it properly, but that scene was really good. If I had it, I would play a clip, but I don't have it. So. And I'm not doing the soundboard. That's Kyle. The scene with Jerry on the fire escape. I also like that. That was kind of funny. And when, you know, he's kind of getting everybody away from being seen on the fire escape, but then he kind of looks away and you see the woman up there and he's like, you know, got a favor. And she kind of just looks up and, you know, shakes her head.
Well, anyway, it's like the Commonwealth that. Ethel Mertz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of. So all in all, I liked a lot of the stuff
going on with Mercer and Negan and of course, you know, Jerry. Anything with Jerry.
Yep. Yeah. No, I definitely like that was a really great scene with Negan and Mercer, because it's one of the things I kind of got, because it kind of was, and it's one of my other awesome sauces, but it was like, you know, we know Negan, because obviously, you know, from we've seen the show and we're coming from viewers or whatever, but it's like you think of the terms of like, so Mercer's been kind of like the big leader, like big, like, you know, the what do you call it? The muscle for Pamela and for the Commonwealth, you know, everybody's following him. You know, he's like, I'm the bad guy. Like, you know, you think that he'd probably say, no, like people respect me. Or if I say something, then people follow me because, you know, they're scared of me or like, or, you know, whatever. But then that interaction between him and Negan, and it's like, you know, it's like Negan is like badder and more fiercer and more cunning and more manipulative, you know, and you're just, I don't know, you're almost kind of like, Mercer, you literally are like nothing compared to Negan. And just, I don't know, I felt there's just that, like, it's like, dude, you have no idea who you're talking to right now.
Well, like, it's funny you say that, right? Because the one thing I was going to say, I forgot to say it, is the in the scene with Sebastian and Carol, and Sebastian's like, do you know who I am? And then Negan comes back, well, do you know who I am?
I am. Right.
That was good.
That's right. So I just, it was just an overall good scene. And I'll lead that into then my other Negan part was like, it was just seeing Negan in the Commonwealth and then his reaction. Like, he's like looking around, just kind of like, holy, like, what? Like, it's almost like, you know, like Negan hasn't been like, he's been with, you know, his wife and like, you know, doing his own thing, you know, but he's, you know, he's been around with like our version of like what the Commonwealth was Alexandria. So I don't know. I felt like when him walking in there was like looking around, like almost in disbelief, like, oh, this place exists. It's like, it's almost like the old world, you know, like it looks like the old world. There was a movie theater just, you know, behind him. And then just the look on his face, like looking around, just like, what? You know, like this place is like, you know, like amazing or something, or, you know, besides all the political crap. But then, you know, I guess, of course, you know, he's also, you know, in there being like, okay, I'm here to like save, you know, my people. But then like, how is this place like look like a dream? And then, you know, but it's messed up just like everything else. It was just fun seeing his like reaction. And then that's when Jerry came up, was like, dude, why are you here? He's like, I'm here to save you. The whole episode and just the return, obviously, we're all happy that The Walking Dead is back. And excited to be back here. It sucks that we only have 8 more episodes or 8 episodes total. And so it's like, I don't know. We've been doing this for so long, and after going through Fear and now Tales, and like, you know, we enjoy covering everything Walking Dead, but it was just like, just every time we're in a break or doing something else to like actually finally get back to the main show. It's one of the things that I'm like, I was just so excited for to be able to watch this episode. And I think I was even like looking at some of our old feedback from like, you know, because I was like looking at the last episode as what was 16. And then just kind of, I remember how we were like, oh my gosh, it's just a building and building. And this is so exciting. And like, oh my gosh, what a great episode. But then we kind of had our pause and then doing Fear and doing other stuff to now finally being back to the main show. So anyways, just so happy that it's back and it's been good so far. Hornsby getting shot across the cheek, I think that's pretty much a given. Everybody probably just enjoyed that, especially when it's coming from Daryl. And then I'll just put in just another, like, this was a very heavy Negan episode. You know, there was just lots of good, fun, like, things, like him just interactions, you know, with the Commonwealth and our people and this and that. But it's, again, it's like seeing Negan and Carol. It's just like, there's just something about their chemistry that I just always loved. And it was like, she opened the door sees, you know, like Jerry's all like, no, all clear, Carol. And, you know, of course, she's trying to protect the kids. She opens the door and here comes Negan walking in. And you just see her on the face. She's like, what? Like, oh, hell. You know, like,
yep.
What's going on? Like, what are you up to? Like, what's going, you know, like, I'm missing something, or I don't know. I love it. It's like they are both like the same. Well, I don't know. Like, they're the same. I don't know if that's the right saying, like the same side of the coin, or like
two sides of the same coin.
Yeah, yep. Two sides of the same coin, because it's like they are very, very similar, very, very have like the same, like when it comes to people they care about, or just like group and like just survival and all this other stuff. But their way that they do things are completely different. But like, I don't know, I love those two. It's almost kind of like they're frenemies. Like they both rely on each other when they need each other to like carry on the comp, you know, the better good, but then they're going to stab each other in the back if it, you know, comes to it. So anyways, that is all I had for my awesome. I mean, the whole episode in a whole was great. And like Brian said, I'm like, we've seen next, and it gets better. So excited. All right. LT.
Well, besides, I kind of have to agree with a lot of stuff that you're saying. And I think the thing I've enjoyed about this episode and the episode in the future is that we, you know, we survived some pretty weak episodes. You know, there was that one section that we were all going, you know, come on, guys, you know, can't you do a little bit better? You know, all of our commentary of Daryl Dixon down by the river. Daryl Dixon builds a cabin. Daryl Dixon loses a cabin. Yeah, and I don't want to dish on it too hard, because it was good, but it wasn't like this good. Whenever they said, well, who are we going to send into the Commonwealth that they don't know? And they all looked at Negan, and I'm going, oh, no, this is going to be good. Because I know we have been back and forth about his character, and I have been more of a proponent of his redemption arc. But this has been that old, almost that old swagger, you know, you boys better put on your pooping pants, cause something's about to go down. You know, the old swagger Negan, but this time he's on our side, mm-hmm. You know, and even with all the stuff that has happened, you know, he's still come through in the pinch. And just when he was, like you've talked about, when he was in that, after watching him do the driving, when he's going, man, I miss this. I miss having a car going fast. But just the look on Jeffrey Dean Morgan's face when he was sitting in that chair in that interview room, kind of leaned back with his legs kicked out. Mm-hmm. And he starts with Mercer, and I'm going, oh, this is going to either be really ugly or this is going to be really good. And it was really good. One of my things that I'm going to throw in here is the fact that bald guy and pseudo Stephanie are apparently, you know, Lance's go-to operators. And I'm just wondering, you know, I'm really hoping that someone, you know, someone gives them a little justice. And I'm not saying it should be Eugene, because, you know, that would be too easy. What I'm hoping is that we get a return of, you know, gut poncho Terminus Carol. You know, I want them to die horribly.
Yeah. Yeah. They're just like, they're annoying in the sense that it's like, they just always pop up at that time. Yep. Like, oh, because, gosh, no.
And we
like,
know, and we know they're up to something.
Right.
And that bald guy comes from the, what's his name? Mike. Oh, I can't think of his name. He's got those same like dead fish eyes that Jonathan Davis or whatever has for Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I have to agree with you too, Kyle, that when Hornsby got shot, I'm thinking to myself, what would be worse for such a vain little man than to now have a huge scar across his face? And I was almost expecting to do the Two-Face, you know, put a scratch on that coin he's flipping. And I'll just say I'm going to giggle like a schoolgirl the next episode we talk about Mr. Hornsby.
Yes. Yes,
me too.
Yeah. Yep. And yeah, I thought it was really cool to get Carol and Negan back together as far as an operations team, but it's still, when Negan was walking through, you know, downtown square of Commonwealthville there, I'm betting he's thinking, you know, if I'd had a little more time and a few more bodies in Savior Land, I could have done something like this. Was nice, you know. They got a record shop and they have ice cream. And absolute props, because when Jerry was going, Negan?
Yeah.
It's just like, what are you doing here? And, you know, I was expecting him to say, I'm saving your ass. So, yeah, I enjoyed it. I also enjoy, I'm just going to throw it out there, I'm glad that Eugene and Max are still together.
So am I.
Yes. Thank
because you. I'm sorry, Dr. Porter deserves some happiness.
Yes. Agreed.
So anyway, that's all I have.
All righty. Well, that was awesome. All right. Well, that leads us into our weak sauce.
You're worthless and weak.
All right. Our Mike from Asheville's weak sauce is anytime a character is holding on to another character too long after being attacked by walkers, dude was pulled in half and Mercer was still holding on. How many years has it been? As soon as he got one scratch, I would have put a bullet in his head and scooted on out. Yes, I'm sure Mercer has not seen as much death as our group, but still, agreed. I think that goes with, I think, actually coming up. With.
I have another angle on that. I'm going to be ranty again.
Okay, awesome. Good. Yeah, because, yep. Yeah. All right. Next.
Well, it's Deanna from Detroit. And she starts off by saying, I said it before, the Commonwealth soldiers do not know how to kill walkers. The soldier who let the walkers get close enough to him, splitting him in half. Sir, why did you run and hop in the truck with Mercer and Rosita when they got closer? Or why weren't you shooting and running away from the herd instead of closer to it?
Yeah.
Overall, yep. Overall, I love this episode. It was so refreshing to watch. They should really end Fear as well, because it will never get on this show's level. They have ruined that opportunity. Shrug.
Yes.
Alma from Sacramento, she says, Shira and bald guy going after the kids. These guys going full-blown covert agent? ! Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, to what end? Exactly. Why were they doing that? Is that her name? The pseudo Stephanie is Shira?
I thought they said at one point, but it's easier just to call her pseudo Stephanie.
Or is his name Shira? Anyway, that's what I thought.
Sorry. Every time you say that, I keep wanting to say She-Ra and the Masters of the Universe.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going for. And I know it's part of showing the unrest in the Commonwealth, but I'm just not into the protest stuff.
Hmm.
I agree.
I wonder what you're going to say next week.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Alma. All right. Next is Ivan from Minnesota and says, the Commonwealth shoulder being buffoons. Our group killed them very easily. They managed to roll a vehicle. LOL. And they were literally getting torn in half. Cryface. Not sure if soldier is the right term for them. Maybe stormtroopers? Question mark.
Yes, stormtroopers. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I called them that the first time we saw them because it was the outfit.
Yeah. Like,
yeah. Well, you've said, talked about this, LT, and you might be going to be bringing it up maybe. It's just like we've made fun of them because it was like, okay, it's like they literally like, are robots, you know, they're just, oh, I don't do anything until I'm told. And then like, what was the episode with, part two, second episode, whenever Aaron and, Gabriel, and they were going into the house when they first, and then they meet Negan and what's his face killed everybody by throwing him off the roof. And it was like the stormtrooper basically was standing right next to the door. And of course, like let someone sneak up on him and kill him with a knife. And it was like, like you're not even like protecting your back, you know, you're like standing in front of a doorway in a basically enemy territory.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't know. They're just fodder. It's the only thing I can think of. They're just easily killed and that's what they're there for. Yeah. Thank you, Ivan. All right. Well, that was all of our weak sauce from our listeners. So let's go into ours. I'll let either one of you want to take this. I don't know. You want to take it first, Brian?
What is the point of the armor if it does nothing to attack to prevent a walker from attacking? Like literally, they were being eviscerated by walkers. We saw them being torn apart. We saw them being bitten, and yet they're wearing all this stuff. So I don't get it. Mm-hmm. What is the point behind it? It bugged me to the point where I was at a 9.5. So it was like it lost a quarter of a mark just based on that. It just was enough to annoy me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to that, I know I'm going to be mentioning this again, the whole time and distance thing, the ever popular time and distance thing that we have, you know, not to the extent of, you know, Morgan falls asleep in the back of a semi and wakes up and it's Mississippi. Not to that extent, but like I kept on asking myself, well, how long did it take them to get from there to the Commonwealth? Like how far away were they from Alexandria at the time? Where is the Commonwealth? Isn't it supposed to be, we think maybe Ohio, you know, Ohio to Virginia. That's not like,
yeah, it's not
that's not like, you know, Alexandria to, I don't know, Richmond, Virginia or something like that, which we've seen them do. It's not like that. It's more like, I don't know, I want to say 6 hours. Well, if it was Cleveland anyway, when I lived in Cleveland, it was a 6 hour drive to go from, from suburban Cleveland to suburban, you know, DC, Virginia. So in good traffic, you know, so like that's gotta be a couple weeks journey, wouldn't you say, you know, assuming yeah. they don't have vehicles to traverse the distance.
Well, and like, and on top of what you said, to go from Alexandria to, you know, Cleveland or Cincinnati, you've got to go through where? Kentucky mountains.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, no, you don't have to go through Kentucky, but you do have to go through West Virginia and,
Corvair. I'm just saying you have to go through the mountains.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's just, I don't, it's been a problem as we know. I mean, maybe finally the one, show that won't have this problem will be the Dead City when it comes out, because it'll all be in New York City. So, but even that will have distance problems because, mm-hmm. you know,
I mean, they got to get there.
Yeah. I mean, how long is it going to take to get from, say, Manhattan to the Bronx? I mean, I don't know. How long has it taken normal times? I don't know. I've never even been to New York City, so I'm not even
It's always travel at the speed of plot.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, what I kept thinking is that these things, are these things going on at the same time? Are they going on at different times? We don't have an idea of that. So it's just, anyway, it's enough for me to notice. It's enough for me to get annoyed.
Yeah.
So that's all I'll say.
Yeah. And I'll just comment on your armor thing, because it is kind of one of those things where it's like, okay, it's one thing to have like, okay, well, it's like a uniform, you know, like them not saying being specifically soldiers, but like, oh, here's like, you know, the authority, and like, oh, they all look the same. Yes. That's how you can identify them, this and that. You know, we saw basically like in Fear with the CRM, and they have armor, but it's useful, and they've shown it being useful. You know, it's like it protects them from bites and this and that. And the Commonwealth soldiers like have this armor, and they are an authority, and you expect that, like, oh, well, obviously they're wearing that for protection. But we see so many times where it's just like, oh, a walker stuck up behind them, and they just immediately rip right through them. Well, and it's like, yeah, you're like,
and I would say, let's consider the life experiences of both of those groups. CRM has actually had to fight walkers, and the Commonwealth really hasn't. So maybe their idea of what would be a good idea for armor hasn't really evolved from the old days, because to me, it seems more like riot gear. It's padded. It's designed to absorb impacts. It's not like the anti-chompy suit that CRM has.
Then that adds another question. Then it's just like, oh, well, then how are they able to survive this long? You know, they just have more resources, and that's kind of it.
They've been able to survive because they have resources. Because if you think about it, the walkers that were inside the gate at the Commonwealth were from inside. Those are not walkers from outside. Those are fresh dead from from the hit squad. And, you know, I'm just saying that it's a different experience, because before, I don't think they had any herds. So if they were killing them in ones and twos and threes and fours, you don't build up that muscle memory like Daryl has, where he can just go, you know, chunk, 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 go right through the crowd with not even thinking about it.
Well, then that basically does give a good point of like, okay, yeah, the Commonwealth are definitely less, you know, prepared or less, you know, like capable or experienced than seems like everybody else that we've seen.
Well, so maybe, they are geographically located that none of the big traversing herds could either get to them, or there was nothing there that the herd would be attracted by.
Yeah. Okay. I'll give it that then. All right. Still, I think they would have learned after a couple people died.
You would think.
All right, LT, what do you have for your week's awesome?
Okay. And I'm going to start off with the thing that, you know, they've already brought up, and I've said it before. It's a 360-degree world that poor Mr. Commonwealth guy, once he got de-jeeped, he was so fixated on the target, he was not paying attention to the people that put the sneak on him when he was firing in one particular direction. You've got to look to your left. You got to look to your right. You got to look up. You got to look down. And you got to look behind you. So let's take a moment to talk about our two poor guys that rolled the Jeep. First things first is, I don't know, I might have tried to flip the Jeep back over. But that's just me.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I thought of that too.
That if it's me and, you know, if it's me and Earl out there in the Jeep and we flipped it over, we've probably both done some Jeep flipping, so we may just try to flip it back over and get the heck out of there. But about that Jeep, it has a pedestal mount and either has an M60, as Rosita was shooting, or it looked like a 1919 Browning. My thing would be, if you rolled the Jeep, take the pig. The pig is your friend. The pig can spit far more bullets much faster than your rifle can. So don't abandon the pig. Take the pig with you. And sorry, guys, if you didn't know, the M60 machine gun was affectionately known as a pig. And that's what I grew up in the service calling it. And I toted my fair share of 60s back in the day, so I'm well acquainted. That pedestal mount is held in with a pin. Pull the pin, take the 60, shoot. Now, we've already talked about your complaint about the armor and the poor schmuck that got his, you know, got his giblets ripped open because Mercer was holding on to one end and they were playing tug of war with the walkers. Use the pig. You've got a long belt of lovely 7.62x51 ammo, and you've got that belt-fed machine gun that will keep shooting as long as you pull the trigger down. Why didn't they just blast the stuffing out of all the walkers that were holding on to his feet? And as soon as there was a point where he was sort of loose, if Mercer would have stepped on the gas, hopefully the walkers would have let go, and, you know, our boy cannon fodder could have survived to die another day. But no. Like I said, you got a machine gun. Somebody's already doing the Yankee. Just get on that thing and hold down the trigger and rock to the left and rock to the right. And eventually, just by weight of bullets, you're going to cut the zombies in enough giblets so that they will let go.
Yeah.
One of my other arguments was I have to go back to our pal, Mr. Radio. Mr. Radio died a horrible death at the hands of Maggie and Mrs. Negan. And do you know why he died? Do you know why Mr. Radio died? Because he went alone. Never go alone.
Yes.
Always take your battle buddy. If you don't take your battle buddy, you die. If you take your buddy, that means you have four eyes, four ears, four arms, and four legs. And going back to my original point, then it's only a 180-degree world if you have a buddy. My very last thing, just to go after our boys in the Commonwealth, that was probably the worst alley sweep I've ever seen in my life. Had that been another situation, that would have probably been the most perfect ambush ever, because nobody was close enough to the fence to look down in the hole where they were hiding. They weren't that far from the edge of the street. It was sidewalk, fence, hole. It's not like they were way far off of the route of travel, because you could still see most of the guys that were walking by. And I'm sorry, Commonwealth guys, you're blind. You're blind and you're not paying attention and you're not looking down and you're not looking up and you're not looking in obvious places where people will hide when they see your big white, red candy stripe butts walking down the street. I mean, seriously, absolutely worst hiding place ever. All he would have had to have done is walk to the freaking fence and look down. And it's like, hey, they're down here. And sure, maybe that guy gets shot. But then all you have to do is hold the exit and bum rush him at your leisure. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And I'm going, how bad do they have to be? They have to be that bad.
Yeah, that's like the whole TV trope of like, oh, like
Well, look, I am actually a very
the camera has to like be able to see them all.
Well, so it's why everybody developed the It's why they developed the Charlie's Angels pose when you're searching a building.
Yeah, gun up in the air.
Worst thing ever. You know, nobody does that in the real life. The reason they do it on camera is so you can see the gun. Because if you were really doing a building like that and you were focused on my face, you would see my face because the gun is centered on my body, chest level, muzzle slightly down, my finger outside the trigger guard, ready to fire.
Yeah.
But that's not sexy, so you have to do the up by your head, up by your head.
You got to pose.
You got to pose.
You got to look good. You got to look good with that gun.
That's right. So anyway, I just had to say it.
You make good points, and it's just, it is what it is.
It is what it is, definitely.
It is, right, and it's, you know, again, I guess there were weak points, but I definitely agree with what we were talking before, though. It's just like, I guess I wasn't putting into context going into that thinking that it's like, oh yeah, okay, you know, the Commonwealth are definitely not as experienced, and they look all flashy and look all this and that. And I mean, we kind of are going to start seeing this. It's just like, yes, I didn't think it's like we are, obviously, I don't think we thought that the Commonwealth was like anything. Well, oh, this is just well, great if,
even,
and wonderful.
Even if they you have want all to include, other- even if you want to include the guys that have been doing all these covert ops for Hornsby, you know, the troopies mm-hmm. that he's taken out that have done some of Hornsby's side missions, who have they gone up against?
Well,
a bunch of,
yeah,
you know,
we
you
don't
know. You know, farmers, you know, gothy kids who live in crappy old apartment buildings. You know,
yeah.
Who have they gone after that would actually pose a fight? Because,
yeah. No,
because I'm saying, even when Hornsby's, you know, picked guys went after Leah, how many of them did she take out? And yeah. there was just one of her.
Yeah. Yeah. They were homeschooled. It was just,
it's like,
I know. I think that's one of the problems though, that like it does come up or like the problem in the thinking, it's just like, you would think that after this amount of time though, that those situations would have already, they've already would have had to face those kind of situations. Well,
you would think so, but apparently there were never any saviors or never any whisperers in the Commonwealth.
No. Well, right. And it just shows how, I guess it's just, they have been that insulated.
Hey,
and maybe
just like the realtor said, Kyle, it's location, location, location.
Okay. Yes. That right there. I get it. Okay. Yeah, I know. It's just, as a person who is, you know, like we review and talk about this stuff, it does come up. And so it's kind of like, wait, I'm scratching my head. Are they really that off? How could that be possible? But yeah.
Well, I mean, I'll just throw it out here like this, Kyle. When you lived in Chicago and you saw somebody walk in front of your house, what did you think? Oh, he must be walking to the store. Oh, he must be walking down the street. Oh, he might be going home. Where you live now, if you see somebody walk through your yard in front of your house, what do you think? Get off my lawn. There's a strange man in my yard.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's
all right. Like if they're in my yard, then I'd be like, what the
right.
hell?
It's a complete difference in mentality.
Yeah.
And the Commonwealth people have been in the first group rather than the second group. They're not, they had such a good screening process and they did so much stuff to keep people from getting in. They basically immunized themselves against any knowledge of how Walker World was actually going.
Right. No, totally true. Agree. Yeah. Okay. Cool. All right. All right. Well, if that was all for the weak sauce, then that leads us into our what sauce.
What?
which surprising, not I guess maybe not so surprising, because I mean this was a good, really good episode. We didn't get any what sauces from our listeners. So that leads us into our own. And I didn't really have any. I do have to admit though, I was only able to watch this a second time, but very kind of like I was skipping around trying to like just get, you know, trying to like whatever. I was like, I was able to just watch it from start to finish and do my normal thing. So I didn't really come across any, if I had any watts, but, Brian, I guess you had some, you want to go with those?
Well, we were talking before about what do you call those stormtroopers or whatever you would call them.
Yeah.
Obviously the one guy like literally got, you know, eviscerated in a tug of war. And that yet again brings up the incredible zombie strength, you know, and it's just like, okay, here is a live person. And these walkers that have been dead anywhere from, you know, weeks to a decade or more, and they're able to literally rip the guy apart like this. Mm-hmm. So I just, you know, I question that, of course. And I want to bring that up because, you know, it just, I saw that. And we see that in a couple of places, like the one guy who gets ripped apart during the car chase.
By the way,
I meant to say this before. That's not the last the last car chase that we had seen was in season 8. So that was the one between Negan and Rick. And
and
Simon was trying to basically, you know, cut off Negan so that he could take over, kind of thing. So that was the last car chase. We've had cars play various roles in the past. There's that one from I think the mid-season opener from season 7 with Michonne and Rick, and they take the clothesline, and they're both on each side of the freeway, and they get all the walkers that are in between. That was a pretty cool scene, if you recall.
Or the one when they were trying to go to the pharmaceutical plant, and they end up high centering the charger on a stack of walkers, and it gets stuck.
Because
it was Daryl Michonne.
Daryl Michonne.
Is it Bob?
Bob. Yes. Bob and Tyrese. That's who it was.
Because I just remembered that they backed up over one and got stuck under the rear wheels. And I said, You're high centered. You're not going anywhere.
Right. And then the last thing I got to say for what sauce, and I think that this is what you would call a quintessential what sauce, is what was the look with Hornsby in his face when Daryl's got the knife to his neck? He had this like demonic look on his face. Like he just had this like demonic smile. Like, oh, you've just put me right where I want to be. I'm just looking, I'm going, what?
Daryl.
It was kind of a what to go to, but this is not going to be the only time that we have a what sauce for Hornsby in this this part of the season, because I believe I'm going to have some things to say for next time. Yes,
sweet.
Yes, and Kyle and I were talking about this prior to you arriving, LT. So. We were talking about this whole thing about him, but I digress.
Yep.
All right. Well, I didn't have any what sauces, like I said, but LT, did you have any add?
You know, I've weaked all over this. So really, I didn't have any whats.
All right. All right. Well, not that I did not bring it back, but we're starting to get those, especially from last from Tales was bringing back the what the hell sauce. So let's go into our what the hell sauce.
Oh, hell no.
And I'll now have to work on getting a better clip of that, because I think that was the old clip from Fear.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah. Anyways, what the hell? Our first one comes from Renee. She says, "Serious, Sebastian, you're going to throw a rock and hide? I wouldn't expect anything less from a spoiled, entitled, selfish runt like you." Cuss face, cuss face, cuss face emoji. Yes, he's going to hide. That's exactly what Sebastian would do.
Selfish runt. I like that.
Yeah.
And our other what the hell sauce is Alma from Sacramento, who says, "First off, episode 16 left off with Oceanside and Hornsby flipping a coin. I need to know what happened."
Agreed.
And I believe that we are going to find out what happened.
We are going to find out.
Mm-hmm. So stay tuned.
And as much as I love saying it, I think it's going to be courtesy of the one-armed man.
The fugitive.
The fugitive. Or Aaron.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't think we have a what the hell sauce is on our own.
No.
So let's go into our sad and aw sauce.
Aww.
All right. Renee from Fairburn says, "I like Mike Rollo and Deetta Patterson. What the heck, dude? Shrug, shrug, shrug. Shoot and run, or just run and get in the truck like the other guy." She's talking about that stormtrooper being ripped in half. And then, "Why the heck is Mercer still holding on to half of the guy's body? And what is the purpose of the Star Wars suits? Because obviously they only slow them down because the damn shoals don't protect them." Thinking face.
I'll have to call an audible on that, Kyle, because it's...
Oh, gosh.
It's... They only slow them down because they damn sure don't protect them.
All right. I should have let you read it then.
And I think we've already beat up on the armor, so to speak. Yeah. So,
all right. Next is... Go for it.
Well, it's Ivan from Minnesota. He says, "Last opener of The Walking Dead. I can't believe it's here." He's got a big sad face.
Yep. Yes, they are pulling all the, like, basically pulling at all the strings to be able to tear up. I'll just, since that was, that was the last of our listeners, sad and awesome, and I'll just go into mine since it kind of segues with his. It was just the fact, like, yes, we're getting, like, the, and I'm assuming it's Judith that's doing the voiceover, but we're getting all these clips of, like, you know, like, oh, just a past see, you know, just of the past, and we're getting to see, like, all of our heroes, you know, like, all, you know, those that have left us. But I noticed that during the commercials, because I watch most of the time, I watch this on AMC Plus, and so I just watch it whenever I don't, like, I'm not watching it when it airs, but whenever I go to do my rewatch, I rewatch it from what recorded on my YouTube TV. And so then I get to see the commercials, and they're doing this heavy character, like focus on each of our characters. Like, I think even this last episode, you know, there was the Carol one, there was Maggie. There probably might've been others, but, those were the two that I caught, and they are highlighting and doing all this stuff. I don't know. It's like, I'm loving it, and it's like, I feel like they're giving us basically this is an 8-part season finale, which, I mean, obviously, yes, that's what it is, but I'm saying it's like, oh, like, I would want to, like, watch this from start to finish all in one, so, like, binge or whatever, and they're giving us fans, like, to be able to reminisce.
Yep.
After all this time. And I love that they're doing that. It's like what makes, you know, it works. Even if the episode is not perfect, it's like, that's what this is kind of, to me, is like, it's feeling more about. Like I said, it's like, my husband's not very big on the show. He doesn't really like it. And I'm like, like, I wish he would give it a little bit more of a chance, but I think he's fallen out of it to where he doesn't really know what's going on. And so he's just like, I can't follow because I don't even know, right, like, what's this person doing? And blah, blah, blah.
Here's the thing, Kyle. Since we can't talk about it yet, but we've had two, but they are giving us, you know, the reminiscence tour. It was like that one starting thing that showed the hospital and, you know, Rick in a hospital gown and the first walker. And, you know, I love the one they did, the Carol one you talked about.
Uh-huh.
Daggum, I love that. Because you got to see her from the beginning when she had that horrible short haircut. And you got to see, I can't think of her name, but, you know, what's her dinger at the barn?
Sophia.
Sophia. Yeah. You got to see Sophia at the barn. And then they showed that one scene of her with that little snub-nosed colt in the flower patch before she she asked Lizzie to take a peek at the flowers. And they had the scene of her at Terminus, and I'm going, mm-hmm, wow. Yeah, just the whole thing of Carol going from, you know, somebody's punching bag to,
which she really was,
to our favorite gut poncho Terminator, you know, I'm telling you, and bring the Pyrex back.
It's funny, we're recording this on the 10th of October, and yesterday was the anniversary of the podcast. So we and our first episode was covering season 5 episode 1, No Sanctuary, and that was still opinion the best episode of The Walking Dead. You know.
Yeah. Oh, that's fun. That's awesome. Oh, how, yeah, it's, how, gosh, how time flies.
I know. 8 years, though. It just kills me. 8 years.
That's, yeah, I mean, that's awesome.
And who knew 8 years ago that, you know, I'd be podcasting with someone that I know in Oklahoma, and now I live in Oklahoma.
In Oklahoma. Well, I just can't believe it. I was like, I remember listening to you and Ruthie. And I was just like, oh my gosh, because Ruthie was like, oh my gosh, I'm like, I'm on a podcast and blah, blah. And so I'm like, okay, cool. And I would listen to you guys all the time to then all of a sudden it was For Fear.
Yeah.
And then it was like, hey, come join us. And then, you know, here I am.
Yeah. One thing led to another.
Yep.
Oh, hey, awesome. I was traumatized as a youth in Oklahoma.
All right. You're right there with us then. You're. Well, what? Well, anyway.
Yes. Well, just to be clear, people, Fort Sill, class of 85.
Okay. Got that. Well, we can talk about that after the show.
Oh. Well, it's time for our sad sauce, isn't it? Oh, you did yours. I'm sorry.
Yes, I segued into mine. So you all go ahead with your sads and awesome.
I just simply said the use of tear gas on the Commonwealth. Residents, I thought was sad and tearful. Ba-dum-bum.
Thank you. Anyways, all right. Well, you go on, guys. LT, did you have any sads?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, then that leads us into our feedback.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
And we, as always, got a voicemail from our favorite listener, Renee from Fairburn. She sent us a voicemail, and I will go ahead and play it now.
Hi, guys. This is Renee from Fairburn. I have been missing you guys. Well, I think it's only been like maybe 2-3 weeks. Yeah, maybe not even that long. Yeah, I think it was, because I don't think you guys did the last two episodes of the Tales, which, hey, who cares? Because that show was god awful to me. So I really don't care, but I really do kind of care because you guys really helped me get through my gym workout. So I have been missing you guys. I can't wait to hear the episode from this week because our peeps are back. And, you know, like I said on my Facebook post, it's really bittersweet because I know we're coming to the end of an era, you know, The Walking Dead itself. I know The Walking Dead technically is not ending, but The Walking Dead is ending. And I think it's been on for 11 seasons. And it's like, I have been riding with them for so long. Like, I'm going to really miss them. But who's excited about the Rick and Michonne show? It's me. I cannot wait until they come out. Daryl show, I'm going to watch it, of course, because I love Daryl, but I'm not super excited about that. Maggie and Negan, you know, like I said, I'm going to watch it, but not excited. But the Rashawn, oh my God, I cannot wait to see my boo Rick Grimes. I cannot wait. Michonne, I like you too, but it's really not you. I'm looking forward to seeing it. It's my boo. Oh my goodness, I cannot wait to see Rick Grimes. I promise you, I cannot wait to see Rick Grimes. I am looking so forward to seeing him. I really am. And what I'm really looking forward to the most is for him to find out about RJ. Like, that's going to be super awesome when he found out about RJ. I mean, that is going to be, I really feel like that's going to be a tearjerker when he finds out about RJ, because, you know, he does not know that he has a son, not that anyone would ever be able to take, Carl's place, but just the fact that he has another son. I mean, I think he's going to be super stoked. So, yeah. And, you know, I left my feedback. I just wanted to call in. Like I always say, I feel like it's more personable and, you know, I just miss you guys. And I just wanted you to know how much I miss you. And Kyle, I see you doing the damn thing over there on the farm. I see you got all kind of stuff going down. You're going to have to get our address and you're going to have to send us some things. You know, you're going to have to. And I think you went to like a little flea market and sold some of your products and stuff. Sold some of your vegetables. I think it was peppers. I think that's what I saw you selling. Also, I wanted to mention again that I'm hoping we're going to do like some type of Zoom or something so we can all get together, see each other. You know, of course, it's not going to be face to face, but we can see each other and we can all watch the last episode of The Walking Dead together. You know, me, you guys, Mike, Dieta, Glenneth, of course. I would never leave Glenneth out. I forgot her name. I don't even know how I forgot her name because guess what? She and I watch so many of the same shows. Like, she and I are always, we watched House of Dragons together and we're always posting. We watch Lord of the Rings together. I always see her and she always see me and we're always together on, just different shows. I think that she watches, I think it was something else that I saw her up under and I'm like, dang girl, I mean, you got a lot in common, you know, cause we're always watching the same type of shows and she loves to give her feedback just like me. She's always giving her feedback and she's always saying, you know, posting Amma, that's her name. Amma. How could I forget you, girl? Because I see you. Like I said, we're always together on different, you know, different podcasts, different shows. I think that she watches The Handmaid's Tales too. I think I see her up under that. And so yeah, I want us all just to get together, you know, and you know, do a Zoom and you know, watch the last episode together. So you know, just a reminder, you know, whatever you guys choose to do, you know, I'm going to be there. Kyle, LT, Bryant, love you guys. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you, Renee. Yes, I hear you. It's been just so hectic. And I think it's kind of part of the deal. It's like, you know, there's a lot of things that we would like to do. And then obviously it's just a matter of time. And then it's also like, you know, stuff just happens and it's just the three of us. And, you know, that or at least on this show. And then I know, Brian, you have the Star Trek podcast. So it's...
Which is also the three of us.
Yes, true. So it is, but I think I like that idea. I mean, we'll definitely have to like look into it because it's just more technically, how do we like pull that off?
I mean, one thing that we've thought of is we would, there are ways to use Zoom with both YouTube and Facebook and, it's something that we have looked at but have not successfully attempted. So there's that, but there's also stuff like Restream, and like there's a few other products that you can basically stream to multiple locations. And to me, that would be a good way to handle it. I mean, if we can't do that, then we would just simply have a Zoom like we do regularly, but, you know, have it more like a Patreon Zoom that, you know, we could invite multiple people to, you know, and do it that way, and then release it to first Patreon people and then everybody else. But because you've done that before, but we just have not, like, because especially for times like this when we've had issues trying to do a show, like if we had something where we could do a live show and didn't have to edit it, it would just go out and, you know, we would be forced to release it the way that it came. that would be easier just simply because we wouldn't be able to edit it. So
and you could see all of us in all of our charming glory.
And it would basically mean if we screwed up really, really badly, unfortunately, you know, it would be out there. So we wouldn't be able to hide it.
We'll do it live.
Yes.
There's like, especially the way how we do it. It's like, it would be like, okay, well, but that wouldn't be something we would post on the podcast feed to be like, oh, here's us talking, you know, with everybody watching the
episode. No, it could be. There's nothing to say that it couldn't be.
It could be a YouTube exclusive.
Like I'm thinking of Positively Trek, for example. I know those guys, or is it those guy now? Because it's what's his name left, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, they do a thing where they do their podcast straight to YouTube, and then it also gets it released.
They do their review show for the episodes live on Saturday.
Yeah.
And it's the Unready Room. And I'm the one that came up with that.
Nice.
It was my suggestion.
Nice.
But that's something, and just so you know, gentle listeners, we are talking about doing some things like that in the future.
Yep. It's just, you have patience. There's a lot that goes involved and goes.
Because I would think it would be hysterical if we did it, you know, if we did a live podcast with you guys could chat.
Or be more involved, where it's like I think, didn't we do one with Dieta?
Yeah, we've done a couple of panel shows, because I know there was one that I was on before I was a host.
Yeah. Well, in any case, thank you, Renee. Yes, I hear you. We'll work on it.
We're going to do something. I think what we need to do is take a few moments, test it out. And then once we work out the kinks, then we can actually do it for real. So
And it won't be me hosting it, because like right now I have my video off because I was getting your connection is unstable.
Yeah. I'll be the host of that, because I've got the strongest signal, I think. I've got gigabit down and 35 up or something. So
yeah, so I'm out in the sticks and I have my T-Mobile home internet, which is
You have my Michigan connection, except worse. Well, no, not worse. Actually, my Michigan connection was worse because
mine's not too bad, but it's like I can't just it's got limitations. Anyways, all right. Well, actually, let's say, so what Renee was saying, I am all about the Rick Michonne spinoff. You know, I'm fine. Like, I'm fine with all the spinoffs. I bring them on. The Daryl one is going to be interesting now that Carol's not going to be a part of it. I think we can already kind of guess how the Maggie Negan one's probably going to feel and how it goes. But you know, that could surprise us. But it's like, now that they've kind of have those set, though, I'm like, I want a Carol spinoff. I'd actually probably would want a Carol spinoff more than I would want a Daryl spinoff. And
yeah,
it's like she said something in an interview, and I thought I might have brought it up in like news, whatever, a couple episodes or during Tales or something. You know, she says, oh, there's more story. You know, it's like she hinted, but I think it was more hinting of like, oh, yes, I want this. But, you know, like, wink, wink, you know, powers that be, I want to still do something
yeah,
with her story.
Well, and let's be honest, I don't think that she passed on the Daryl show because she didn't want to do the Daryl show.
No,
I think
it was
a legit schedule issue.
No, legit schedule. And I think it was also because they did want to film it over in Europe. And
yeah. For reasons I don't quite understand, other than the fact that they came up with this story that required the fast walkers to be in France, you know?
Well, there was the whole comic of Rick's brother, right? That was overseas.
That's true.
That was a variant or anything to do with the walkers, but it was like, oh, hey, we have a new location. Something else to go for. Regardless, it's just, you know.
And I hadn't even thought of the fact that Rick doesn't even know of the existence of RJ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's.
Yep.
That's a reunion that's going to be made or should be made. Yeah. Oh, all right. Well, thank you, Renee, as always. And yes, I wish I could sell you all my peppers. Pepper powders, but I'm limited to only being able to ship within the state of Illinois right now.
Next year?
Yes. The way the law is, and we're under cottage food, and so we are in the plans of looking at about building a commercial kitchen on our farm, and that's what you need to be able to produce and be able to sell across state lines. Regulations, government, all this other stuff. So it's health, health, health.
Yep.
It's like that, basically it. But yeah, stay tuned though, because that is something we're working on. And I wish that we could let you buy my products and the great peppers powders that we're making. So give us time. It's our first year. Like, I can't believe I even saying that. It's like, it's our first year and we're actually at market. So
yeah,
that's always good.
Yeah, that is good.
All right, well, let's go into our written feedback from our listeners. You want to take Dieta?
I shall. Dieta from Detroit says, seeing our people snapping into action like the undercover operatives they are, we finally get scenes filled with more than two people. Maggie, Daryl, Aaron, Father Gabriel, Negan, and Mrs. Negan, don't remember her name, are finally in one scene. Carol going into operative mode with the kids. Her face when Negan showed up, she knew what time it was instantly. Jerry dodging the Hornsby henchmen looking for the kids. It looks like our people have recruited some Commonwealth people to our group, or are they from Alexandria? Also, what did Pamela say on that walkie-talkie? Did she order the herd of walkers out to help shut down the protesters? Because where did all those walkers come from all of a sudden? Was it because Hornsby took soldiers from their post to conquer Alexandria, Oceanside, and the Hilltop? Which I don't know why there isn't anyone there. Chin scratch. Carol always has an ace up her sleeve offering up Hornsby to clear Sebastian's name and calm the masses, but will Pamela go along with it? Daryl has Hornsby and a knife to his neck. Expect some big walker explosion or something to get our people out of that sewer confrontation. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes. Oh, they are all in a pickle. There's so much going on. Yeah, I don't know what Pamela said in that walkie-talkie. I don't remember that, so I'm not sure what that was.
I made it a point to listen, and I really couldn't tell what she was saying.
What did you have closed captioning on?
Yeah, and I still didn't get anything.
All right. Well, thank you, Dieta, as always. I think I was probably going back to what Did we already talk about what Alma said, I guess, and her what the hell sauce? Because there was just so much going on, and here we are. We jumped to this, you know, now that we're back in part three of the season. Mm-hmm. And I think it was just talking about like she's bringing up Alexandria. And so I don't know. This might be just completely random because it's like, because she says, was it because Hornby took the soldiers from their post to conquer Alexandria and Oceanside and the Hilltop?
Right. That he's pulled all these troops off to do these little side missions. So does that mean that there weren't people on the fence like they should have been?
Right, right. And actually, that is a... Well, I mean, I guess I don't know if we get that coming up. But, you know, we don't see anything... Like, we have not seen yet of anything about what happened at Oceanside. I know that...
No, we haven't.
Right. And it's like... I'm assuming that we're going to get some of that, but I know that I feel like so far it's like it's got kind of pushed over because that was such a huge, big scene for the end of season or episode 16. But yeah, I'm like a lot's been going on in this episode.
I think we had to have what happened happen first before we find out what happened to Oceanside.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Agreed. There's just so much going on and just actually just so glad that it's all back. Anyways, all right, next, let's take Mike from Asheville.
Mike from Asheville says, this was a nice welcome back. Action all around. The escalation inside the city with the protests. Lance's goons hunting down the children. I really hope each of these episodes is nonstop. Let's go out with a bang. This episode started us on that path.
All right, Alma from Sacramento says, so happy to be back in the episode starting off full throttle is everything that I was hoping for. I hope they keep up the momentum. It was great seeing so many of our people in one episode. Look forward to tuning in.
And next up is Glennis from Toronto. She starts off, how times have changed from season 8, episode 12, The Key, where that car chase had Rick sideswiping Negan and Dwight and Simon were in the other car, to season 11, episode 17, Lockdown, where Negan is the savior for the group and Daryl sideswipes the Commonwealth troops vehicle. From Talking Dead, both those scenes were filmed at more or less the same location. Now Lance Hornsby is the big baddie instead of Negan, but how come he's still smirking with a knife at his throat? We'll find out.
I want to know too.
Carol can achieve anything when she puts her mind to it, as Negan so eloquently stated that she'll pull rabbits out her ass. However, I hope Sebastian doesn't get off scot-free with the plan of heaping all the blame onto Lance. It's good that the kiddos have avoided Lance's henchmen so far, as that may be why Lance was smiling with a knife to his throat as he thinks he's got a bargaining chip. He's going to be disappointed on that front. Or not. It shouldn't be long before Mercer switches sides, as he's already seen glimpses of the rot beneath the surface. The Commonwealth is not all ice cream and cotton candy. After that dust-up with that Walker herd and the poor Commonwealth trooper's split personality, smiley face, with Mercer, Rosita and the Commonwealth troops when they left the scene, the Walkers split into two groups shown from above, with each following a jeep. So, are there three groups of walkers, as there's one fast approaching the Commonwealth attracted by the protesters chanting? Again, I wonder if these herds have been released by the CRM. I will be disappointed if they don't even hint at the CRM in the last TWD episodes, especially with the link to Rick Grimes.
Yes.
All these three-time spinoffs. Still think it would have been better to just had one spinoff, for example, The Walking Dead Aftermath, and have the main core group make an appearance at opportunistic times through, say, a two-season series wrap-up of The Walking Dead, with Negan, Carol, Maggie, Daryl, Rick, and Morgan, Dwight, and Madison showing up too. But I guess that would be more expensive for AMC than splitting these up into short separate series. Just like why they're ending the Walking Dead main show series so contracts can be renegotiated. AMC has always been cheap.
Oh, actually, I think I would prefer that they would have done just another show that would have been just kind of a carry on. But of course, they ended up starting Fear, and that started off completely different to where it's at now.
Yep.
And then now it's like, well, you know, I think we know that it's like I think they've even said they want a Walking Dead of some sort on pretty much every single day, or like, well, you know, basically every single day of the year. Like, so basically every Sunday, there's going to be a Walking Dead in the summer, fall, winter, you know, spring, summer, fall, you know, like winter, and just always have that, because this is their, you know, quote unquote cash cow.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like they're thinking of like ways to be able to spin this stuff, you know, spin things off and do all this other stuff. And, you know, I'm kind of wondering like, okay, well, when does it become where it's like oversaturated and you start, you know, it's going to be interesting what happens after, you know, the main show finally ends. You know, I always thought, or actually I didn't, not that I've always thought, but I think I even mentioned that I was like, I could see that the Daryl spinoff over in Europe and being in a whole new location and all this other stuff could end up turning into like the main show again. And then we still have our other spinoffs doing their little, you know, they have their runs for however long, but that the Daryl show would become the next main Walking Dead show.
Right. Well, everybody has asked, you know, well, how is the zombie apocalypse in other parts of the country, and how is the ZA in other parts of the world? So,
right.
Yeah, and then who knows? Maybe this is going to be their opportunity.
Yeah. And you know, it's like a way to keep it going. But I don't know. We'll see, I guess.
Walking Dead New Orleans, Walking Dead Las Vegas, Walking Dead Hawaii.
Yeah, seriously.
And then all they need are all the fancy graphics and the stuff like that, you know. So they'll start showing
dun 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 or whatever. Dun dun. Yeah, Law and Order. Well, hell, that show's been going on for like 20 billion years.
Oh, it's been going on forever.
Yeah.
Ding dink. Bow, bow, bow,
bow, bow, bow. Yeah. And right. If you watch it, everybody that we've seen in all of our favorite shows started off in Law and Order or have appeared in Law and Order episodes.
They either start off in Law and Order or CSI.
Yeah. Actually, well, that's a side note that I'll.
Yeah, we could do a whole podcast on that.
All right. Well, do you guys have anything else to add?
No.
No.
All right. Well, then that takes us into our news, ratings, and info.
There's a couple weird stories on the news.
Do you want to take this, Brian?
I will take it. Well, unfortunately, when it comes to ratings this week, The Walking Dead didn't do so great. I don't know if it was that some people didn't get the memo that it was back, or just the overall dilution of ratings and, you know, general delusion of how we watch things, you know. And we were also talking about how, you know, so many people are watching it through AMC Plus and you know, on demand and all that stuff. So the ratings are lower, but the ratings are lower. So it got a 0.27 in the 18 to 49. With 1.185 million viewers, that is by far the lowest rating of The Walking Dead to date. That compares with the season, you know, mid-season finale for episode 16. It got a 0.39 in the 18 to 49 with 1.606 million viewers. So basically down 420,000 viewers. That's quite a bit.
I would add, because I didn't put this in there, but I noticed though that in the ratings it ranked number 12 though in the 50 original.
It was number 12, yes. And I noticed that
so it was high.
most of them, well, that's compared to when it used to be like number 1, 2, or 3.
Well, right, but
now most of the, you have to put it into context that, you know, this is going on during football season and Major League Baseball is in the middle of playoffs. So that did show up. The the number one drama of the night was in the number four position of House of the Dragon, which I was curious to see this, to see how, you know, how the ratings are for House of the Dragon versus, you know, Game of Thrones. And, you know, it got a 0.43 in the 18 to 49 with 1.1883 million viewers. And 25 to 54 got a 0.64 and a 1.1 in the 50 and over. So, you know, not great ratings for that. We didn't say it earlier, but The Walking Dead got a 0.42 in the 18 to 49, or sorry, 0.42 in the 25 to 54 and a 0.7 in the 50 and over. And that's versus last time, which it got a 0.060 in 25 to 54 and a 0.9 in the 50 and over. Also, if you're curious, we didn't write it down, but I did look it up here just to see. Interview with the Vampire got, let's see, it was at...
Where did it go?
Where is it? I saw it earlier and I can't find it now. Yeah, it got a 0.15 in the 18 to 49 with 622,000 viewers. And 0.21 in 25 to 54 and 0.35 50 and over. Talking Dead at the later time obviously didn't do so great. It got 0.6 in the 18 to 49 with 326,000 viewers. That's slightly up from last time, which was a 0.005 and 336,000. So I guess slightly up in the rating, slightly down 10,000 number of viewers. And I'm not sure why it was on at a later time last time. Obviously, some program coming on, but I don't remember which one it was. But yeah, so kind of disappointed with that figure. Hopefully, the numbers will go up as we get closer to the finale.
Yeah, I would expect.
Yeah, so.
All right, you gonna do Parrots?
Yeah, Parrots got, was at number 10 with a 47.6 in the times the average show, 47.6, the demand of an average show. That's at number 10. Number one is Game of Thrones, which is kind of funny. I find that funny. It's at 101.2. Mm-hmm. Times the demand of an average show, you know, show that's been done, what, finished, what, 3 years ago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something
yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, number two being Stranger Things at 83.7 times. SpongeBob at number three with 72.3. Rick and Morty doing well at 68.4 times. At number four, Breaking Bad, number five, 64 times. Still doing quite well for that show. That's 9 years ago that show ended. Cobra Kai at number six with 56.5. House of the Dragon, which I think brings up Game of Thrones. That was at 52.8. Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story at 50.2. Saturday Night Live in the number nine slot at 49.9?
Yes, yeah, it is.
49.9. Yep.
Yeah. And number 10 with Walking Dead. So overall, I imagine that number is going to go up as the season goes on. And yeah.
Yeah.
So
nice. All right. I was not able to get any news, but I know LT, you did watch Talking Dead. So I don't know if there's anything that was brought up in there that might be relevant, or if any of you have any news to report.
The only thing is, as we have already seen, they renamed the show for Maggie and Negan is I think originally they said Isle of the Dead, and now they're saying Dead Isle. So,
well, now it even says Dead City. So that's how they pushed it at the New York Comic Con this week. Is now they're calling it Dead City.
Hmm.
So I don't mind. I think that's a good title.
Yeah, it works.
Especially when they're talking about it's going to have all these things going across buildings and stuff like that. That's going to be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like kind of like Divergent or something where they had the little, whatever those little things were with the little.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how the live denizens trapped in New York City have adapted to survive.
Always. All right. Well, if that was all we had for our news, that leads us into, okay. If that's all we had for our news, then LT, you want to tell people how to interact with us?
I shall. We want to encourage you to follow us on Twitter and Instagram. That's at Walking Dead TTM. To submit your theories and feedback, most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/walkingdeadTTM. You can send us email. That's walkingdead@talkthroughmedia.com. You can also use our feedback form on the webpage. That's at talkthroughmedia.com/feedback. If you'd like to leave us voicemail, remember you can call 216-232-6146. And all of our new episodes are on YouTube. Just search for Talk Through Media and remember to subscribe and click that bell to get notified when we have new videos. Those videos go out first before the podcast does.
And to support us, like and review the Talk Through Media Facebook page. You can find that at facebook.com/talkthroughmedia. And as always, the best way you can support us is in our Patreon. You can find that at patreon.com/walkingdeadtalkthrough. And we would like to thank our Patreon supporters, Mike Rollo, Scott Kerr, Renee Murray, Dieta Patterson, that guy over there, Lawrence Todd.
Hello.
And this guy, me, Kyle McAdams. Remember that Mike, Scott, Dieta, and Renee will be getting an early episode of a version of the episode this week. You can subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or your podcast client of choice. And while you're there, give us a rating or review. You can also leave us a review at podchaser.com. There you can actually rate individual episodes or the whole podcast. And as always, remember to share our posts on Facebook and Twitter when we post them, or tell a friend. Word of mouth is the best way to get us new listeners. All right. Well, Brian, where else can be listened to on the pod or on the network?
Well, we've been behind on the Star Trek podcasts. It's a similar tale to what we were talking about before. The night that we're recording this, October 10th, I finally released episode 9 for Strange New Worlds, which was, unfortunately just took a while to get that one out, but that one's done. My schedule should be freeing up just a little bit now. So, hopefully, we'll start getting the episodes out a little more regular. And, we've got Lower Decks, which has been great again this season. So that's going to be, fun to cover. We've recorded the first 4, episodes. For 3 and 4, we're doubling them up. So going forward, 5 and 6, 7 and 8. 9 and 10 of Lower Decks, we're going to do like cover 2 episodes in one, to help, get us caught up. And then the plan is after that, we'll have, Prodigy will be coming back, and that'll be, that'll be out, and Kim and James will be on that. And then after that, we'll do the Picard episodes and get caught up on that. And we should be caught up on that by the time season 3 of Picard gets started. So, and LT and I, and hopefully bring back a third host on that. And yeah, so we got a lot going on with Star Trek and a lot to catch up on, and hopefully we'll be starting to catch up on that as we go. Also, the Deep Space Nine podcast with James and Kim has been going strong, been going weekly. They've been they're deep in the season 5 at this point of Deep Space Nine. So that's at Rebinge Deep Space Nine. That's part of the all-inclusive feed. So you got, you know, all the Star Trek podcasts and the Walking Dead talk through. And you already know about this podcast, so I don't have to say anything.
All right. Awesome. Yeah, it'll be nice of everything. I'm getting more time too. So I'm kind of like, okay, I'm ready to get back on track and things coming up, on time. And, thank you everyone as always to being it's your patience and understanding, and we're always here. Just happy to, be doing the show with you guys and love all the feedback. And all right. All right. Well, the next episode of The Walking Dead is season 11, episode 18, A New Deal. I looked this up, and I probably could have gone to AMC to watched the show to figure it out, but it said stories by Corey Reed. So it was written by and teleplay by Corey Reed and Kevin Diebold. I'm not sure what that means. It should be written by Corey Reed and Kevin Diebold. Directed by Jeffrey F. January, which seems like that's a new name.
It's not new. He used to be director of photography on some of the early seasons of The Walking Dead.
But is this his directorial debut?
No, he's directed before, but it's been a while. But I have seen his name.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was kind of looking it up, and I'm like, oh, I don't remember seeing his name before. But
been a while.
Yeah. Description from AMC Plus is, our survivors make a deal with Pamela for a clean slate. The Commonwealth celebrates Founders Day. So until next time, I'm Kyle.
And I'm LT.
And I'm Brian.
And this is The Walking Dead Talk. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.